Hey guys, how's it going? My name is Sam, and welcome to the first ever episode of the Natural Born Reseller Podcast. In today's episode, I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a backstory as to who I am, as well as how I got into reselling, and I'm also going to let you guys know what this podcast is going to be about and why I think it might be for you. So let's get right into kind of letting you guys know how I got into this. So first off, like I said, my name is Sam, and I'm the head of the Natural Born Reseller Instagram page at @naturalborn_reseller. So if you guys don't know, check me out on Instagram. I will be posting when these new podcasts come out, as well as any more information that I could share with you guys. I'm going to be consistently posting on there and hopefully posting once a week on here. So to begin my story, I started reselling at around 10 years old. I'm going to make it quick. I was selling trading cards. Just like most other resellers, trading cards was a huge, huge commodity. It was something that people really loved. And so in my school, it wasn't baseball cards. It wasn't football cards or anything like that. It was Yu-Gi-Oh! And Pokemon cards. And holy crap, did the kids in my school love it. So I knew that I had a market for this, but I needed to find out how I can make money off of this. Besides selling my own cards, because honestly, I didn't know how to play it. So I love to collect the cards, but I didn't know how to play it. So besides selling the cool cards that I found, I ended up going to a trading card store somewhere near my house and finding out that they were selling decks, 500 pack starter decks for $5. And some of these decks would have really cool holo cards, but not too many of them. And so I decided to buy it. I said, you know what? Worst comes to worst, I'll break even and I'll be left with a bunch of cool Yu-Gi-Oh cards to do nothing with. So I bought this deck of cards. I brought it home and I got really excited. I took this deck. I went to school. I showed it off to the kids and I said, hey guys, if you want to look through this deck, the first person to look through it can get the first dibs on what they want to buy. And then, of course, I made up prices for whatever cards that they wanted to buy. So I didn't have a value system. I did not know how to look these cards up at the time because I was only 10. But I knew that I could price these kind of relatively high. So a few cards would be $1 each, like on specific crappy cards. The more nicer cards would be a few dollars each, $5 each. And at the end of the day, I would basically double or triple my money. And I'd still be left with hundreds and hundreds of cards in this deck. And I would do this every single week. I'd go to the store, I'd buy stuff, I made some connections with the people there, they would let me know where the good cards were at, and I'd buy these items and come back to school and make money over and over and over, and I ended up amassing a huge Yu-Gi-Oh! Collection of useless cards. And honestly, if I still had this had them to this day, I would sell them on eBay, but I have no idea where they are. They're probably gone and long gone by this point, so I can't really do much with it. But after this point, after I went through the phase of selling things in school, I decided I could definitely do better by selling things on eBay. I heard about eBay through YouTube, and they discussed how they would buy things at flea markets and sell them on eBay. And eBay was such a cool thing to me at the time. I was too young to make an account. Obviously, at 12 years old, you can't make an account. But I was so excited that I ran outside. I went to the flea market near my house, and I said, you know what? I'm going to try to make money off of this. I went there, I looked at what they had, and I kind of went based off of not intuition, but the little knowledge that I had. And because I had just started, because I just watched these videos, I knew nothing. I ended up buying a mug, a belt buckle, and a N64 game. I think it was Pokemon Stadium for 25 or 50 cents. And obviously, none of this stuff was really worth much, and I had nowhere to sell it. I brought the stuff back. I looked up the mug. I looked up the belt buckle. Worthless. I looked up the game, on the other hand. I think it was worth like $8 or $10 at the time. So I definitely made some money, but it was nothing to be proud of. It was a start, though, and that's all that mattered. That was the last day of the flea market until the next season, because winter was among us. And so I had to wait. I had to take a break, and I had to use this time to learn more about what it is that sells. And through this time, I went through my house and I kind of found a bunch of cool, not cool things, but things that we weren't using. I found a BlackBerry, a bobblehead, some remotes, and I ended up selling these things on Craigslist. And I also sold some stuff like my toys on eBay to see if I can make some money as well. Now, through this whole experience, I didn't make a lot of money, but I was just getting into it. So who can blame me? I was 12, 13, 14 years old. I wasn't making much. So I was learning, and I was receiving a lot of criticism from my family. They said, what are you doing? Focus on school. Stop wasting your time. But again, this was a passion of mine. It's something that I enjoyed. And so I continued at it. I continued hustling. I continued selling things, and I continued learning. I kind of grew from there, my knowledge of what it is that sells. And so again, the flea market season came around, and I decided to go out and find some items that I enjoyed to look up. And at this point, I finally had a cell phone. So I knew that I could look stuff up online on eBay to see what was worth it. And I decided to start buying video games and electronics. This was my big niche, something that I bought. And then from this point on, I also started going to thrift shops and buying these same exact items, no clothing, no nothing, just video games and electronics at the thrift shops, trying to make money. And I was making some money. It wasn't a lot, but it was definitely something. But the most important thing was I was learning. And because it was at a young age and money wasn't that important to me, the fact that I was able to learn all this was really important. So if you guys have the time, if you have the ability, always try to learn as much as you can. Forget about the money at first. It's not the most important thing. Learning and making sure that you're taking your time to not make too many mistakes is really important. Because if you rush into it and you don't know what you're doing, in the end of the day, you're not just going to be not profitable, but you're probably going to end up having to give up, because you're going to be so unmotivated for it. And so because I was learning so much knowledge and I had so much inside of me, I was so excited to do this and I was learning to do all this, but I realized that this wasn't very scalable. I did not have a car, so I couldn't drive around to thrift shops, and the flea market was only happening half the time of the year. So I didn't have a way of scaling this to make more money until I came across a new YouTube channel called Hustler Hacks on YouTube. Shout out to him. He taught me about going to Burlington and Marshalls and how I can make profit going there as well. So I ran over to my new Burlington and my Marshalls to see what it is that I can find. And I ended up finding two pairs of sneakers my first day. I found a really crappy pair of Nike Vapor purple size 12 and a half football cleats for I think it was like $12, and they sold for $40, but a year and a half later. So basically I broke even, if not, I lost some money. But that wasn't important. It was the first ever pickup. And then the second pair of sneakers was my first ever profitable pair. It was a pair of golf cleats. These golf cleats were $25, but they went for over $100. And so I definitely made a really decent profit on that. And so I learned that this was something that I enjoyed as well. This is something that can make me money during the winter when the thrift shops, not the thrift shops, but the garage sales and the flea markets are closed. So I ended up doing this during the winter and during my time in college. I would be doing this a lot, and it was a lot of fun. I ended up also finding some pairs of Hardens. These are some Harden Volume 3s, all white with doodles on them. I think they were called the Doodles. For $35 a piece. There were five of them, but the line was just huge. So I ended up leaving and coming back to Marshall's. I found three of them left. So I bought all three of them and I listed them on eBay. But the sad part was, it was almost a month that passed by. And because I didn't have a lot of money at the time, I knew that before a month passed by, I had to return these. So it was almost a month that passed by. It was about 3 weeks, and I had to figure out what to do here. I knew these are profitable, but for some reason, mine weren't selling. They weren't priced too high. They were priced competitively. So I decided to try out a different website that I've heard of called GOAT and StockX. So at this point, I listed them on GOAT, and I got them up there, and I listed them competitively, $1 underneath what the other guy had listed it for. Actually, $5 underneath, because that's what GOAT was doing at the time. It was $5 underneath, so maybe a little bit of a low ball, and I'm sorry about it, but I learned my lesson and I continued going when I had more capital. I listed it $5 below, and the first pair sold within 20 minutes. It was insane. And the other two pairs sold within the rest of the week. So I was able to make my money on those pairs. I knew they were profitable and I was so excited. And that's how I got into Burlington and Marshalls. And that's kind of what got me into reselling sneakers and clothing from online and retail arbitrage. Now, speaking of retail arbitrage, I actually ended up going to, I hope I said retail arbitrage, not online arbitrage. I ended up going to a GameStop basically later on that year, which was actually last year. I ended up going to a GameStop, and right before fourth quarter, they had this crazy sale where they were selling they were selling toys, like action figures, for $5 a piece. Now, typically these action figures were 15, 20, 25 bucks. And I knew at $5 a piece, I could definitely make a profit. So I went to each and every GameStop that I had near me and pretty much bought everything I could. I came back home with hundreds of dollars of inventory and was super excited to see what I can do. I listed every single one of these toys. And by the end of the fourth quarter, I had sold all of them. So I spent about $600 or $700 and I netted about $1,000. There was a lot of toys. It took up a lot of space. And this was the time when I realized that I can do this in a very bulk way if I can go to a bunch of stores, you know, either daily or weekly or whatever. So I knew that this is a scalable opportunity and it's definitely something that I can try. But obviously, it was also difficult because it takes a lot of time to run around. And that's when I heard about OA, online arbitrage, where you could buy stuff online and sell it online. And so my first ever online arbitrage purchase were some Champion fanny packs. I got them for $5 a piece. I ended up selling them for about 25 or 30 each. I got 25 of them. And it took a little while for them to sell, but at the end of the day, they did sell. That was my first ever purchase. But I'd like to mention my biggest online arbitrage purchase. I bought 100 Nike bucket hats, 50 blue, 50 white, and I sold these bad boys for over or around $20 a piece. I spent $2.50 per hat. I sold out of all of them within 6 months, making me a $1,000 profit on a $250 investment. Insane ROI, but I was super duper happy. It was a rare opportunity for me to find stuff, something like that, but I'm continuing to try to do the same every single day. So I found out about that. I was super excited. And online arbitrage and retail arbitrage has kind of been my primary source of making money through reselling throughout these past few years. And it's something that I continue to do. And so because I've been able to learn so much throughout these years of reselling and all this knowledge that I've learned, I'd like to share it with you guys. And that's why I do have an Instagram page, and I started one ever since Corona hit. I started an Instagram page and I decided, listen, I have more time. I'm home now. I quit my job. Let's do this a little bit. Let's take this a little bit more seriously. So I started sharing my thoughts and everything that I knew on Instagram. And then I realized that as much as I enjoy doing Instagram, I want to share more, and the best way to do that is through a podcast. And so that's why I'm starting this podcast. So I want to share more with you guys. I want to give you more details than I can express in my Instagram posts. And at the end, my goal is to teach people that are either new or veterans how they can better themselves or their business and grow their business or themselves financially. I mean, it's something that we're all always going towards, is to make ourselves better financially. And that's kind of my goal here, through reselling, how we can make more money, to put it in simple terms. And yeah, so I'm going to talk about reseller news, basically news that comes up for us, whether it be new updates or, certain, let's say, drops like on Sneakers app, stuff like that, the news for resellers, basically, across multiple platforms and websites, as well as my experiences and my mistakes that I've made. It's really important, I believe, to listen to other people's mistakes to make sure that you aren't making those as well, so that you guys can better yourselves. I have so many examples that I'm going to be talking about in future episodes on how you can do better or how you can avoid these mistakes, and I can't wait to do that. Every once in a while, I also do plan on doing some interviews with some really cool resellers. Obviously, I don't have any lined up at the moment, but eventually when I do have these resellers lined up, I will let you guys know and we will do some really cool interviews, and hopefully they can share some of their knowledge that they have. I'm going to try my best to give some tips on how you guys can succeed and grow throughout various platforms as well as various niches. And so a really big thing is to find what niche you enjoy. And so I've had a multitude of niches, whether it be clothing, used clothing, brand new clothing, whatever, electronics, toys, etc. And soon I'm actually going to be getting into more. I want to share what it is that I've learned from these niches, why some of them haven't fit with me, but why they might fit with you. I mean, everybody's different, and they might work for you, but they didn't work for me. So we'll talk about those in future episodes. Some tricks for listing items. You know, some tips on how to make your listings better. For example, I know that a lot of people screw up their listings because they don't technically put good titles or good information in the description. And so that can really, really mess up their listings, and how do I say this? It'll make their listings less sellable. Less people will come across the listing because there isn't as many details or as much specifics, item specifics. And the final thing is I will probably be discussing various apps that I use or softwares. I plan on using some cross-listing software, so I will be talking about those as well. And I use a multitude of selling platforms, so I might discuss which ones I prefer, which ones I don't like, why I don't like them, why I do like them, and why you might like them as well. And so, yeah, that's kind of my goal with this podcast, is to help everybody as much as I can, especially in the reseller world. And hopefully I can do that within the next few podcasts. So I hope you guys did enjoy this episode. I hope this brought you guys a little bit of information as to what this is going to be about. And I hope to I'm not going to see you guys, but I do hope to see that you guys enjoy this podcast. I hope to see you on Instagram, if you guys already know, at naturalborn_reseller. Check me out, DM me, whatever it is, comment on my photos, and let me know that you guys are from the podcast. Let me know that you're from here, and I'll be really happy. I'll be really happy to hear that you guys are enjoying it, or that you guys came to my Instagram page. Anyways, guys, that's pretty much it. I hope you guys enjoyed it, like I said, and I'll talk to you guys in the next one. Peace out.